I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I was going to blame it on Aaron Judge Tuesday. And then I realized, well, Rob Manfred has perpetuated this whole drama himself by doing another press conference. This one coming from the land of the cactus, or cacti, if you will. I love how you pluralize cactus. So, yeah, I mean, I could blame Aaron Judge. I could blame LeBron James. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Oh, my goodness. I could certainly blame the number of players who continue to talk about the Astros mess, except it's not limited to one or two. It's not limited to two or three. It's still the number one topic of conversation in baseball as well as in sports. And while you would expect that it would die down eventually because the microphones in the faces of players right now, it's really the first time we're hearing from the defending World Series champion Washington Nationals, first time we're hearing from Aaron Judge, first time we're hearing from Dave Roberts, really. I mean, at some point, they will have run out of things to say. But it is not this day. So here we are again. But it won't be the only thing we talk about on the Hump Show. That I can promise you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So a couple of funny things on this edition of the show. We got some new pork rinds flavors. So we're going to try them and tell you what we think. They come up with the most unique combinations. Now, it's not quite like chocolate covered dill pickle that someone suggested on Valentine's Day on our Facebook page. I feel like that would ruin my Valentine's Day. I love pickles and I love chocolate, but I don't think those two things go together. Dave will literally eat anything. Would you try a chocolate covered dill pickle?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's edible.
I mean, so are pieces of grass or pieces of carpet, but dog food. I mean, there's a lot of things that are edible. All it means is you can swallow them.
Don't knock it till you try it. That's my motto.
No, I mean, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it doesn't sound like a very palatable combination. However, to each his own, to each her own. So we haven't really talked about food much over the last couple of days because we did it up big with all kinds of candies and treats and our science project on Valentine's Day. So I've been trying to recover from what I feel like is a chocolate overdose the last few days. Goodness, I bought way too much Valentine's Day candy on half price sale. And now I feel the need to eat it. And get rid of it.
That's why we're here today.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's why I'm on Earth. One reason I'm on Earth is to taste every kind of chocolate known to man. Anyway, we've got some new pork rinds flavors, which are theoretically more healthy than chocolate. We'll try it. We'll see. So unique flavors. We also have your chance to ask Amy anything. So what do you want to know? Comes up in a couple hours here on the show. In fact, as we get to the midway point of our Hump Show, that's when you get to ask Amy anything. So you can send your questions now to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and producer Chris is going to put up the bright orange box. It's obnoxious orange, exactly how I like it. And so find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, also named after the show. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Yes, Rob Manfred spoke again. He doubled down on at least one thing that we've heard him say over the past few weeks. But another, kind of interesting how the more he talks, the more it seems like the iceberg moves. And I said to Chris before the show, this is becoming Deflategate 2.0. We're talking in circles over and over and over and over again. But if I don't talk about it, I'm not doing my job. Whether you like it or not, it's still the number one story in sports right now. It happens to be this mini pocket post-NFL, pre-combine, pre-start of the new NFL new year. We're also in the week following the NBA All-Star game, so there aren't any NBA games going on. We're not quite to the trade deadline. The NHL trade deadline comes up on Monday. Yeah, there's some college basketball, and so we filter that in, and we will. But it's a pocket that just opens up beautifully for Major League Baseball to drop in with all its drama. So you can blame the national radio host, but it's not my fault. So you'll hear from Rob Manfred again. In one case, he doubles down. In another case, well, he'd like to share the blame a little bit. He's pointing a few fingers in another direction. Plus Aaron Judge, who is, joined the parade. He may be the tallest guy in the parade, but he can join the parade of current players who are not big fans of the Astros these days. However, you will not hear anything more interesting, scintillating, in your face than Nick Markakis of the Braves. So we'll get to some of the more recent audio, but there is some news coming out of the world of sports that has nothing to do with the Astros. What? I didn't even know that was possible. This is something that had been talked about the last couple of days, and I think if you're inside the Cleveland Cavaliers organization, this is a long time coming, maybe. But John Beilein and the Cavaliers are working out some type of agreement, a buyout, where his brief, very brief, tenure as the Cavs head coach is coming to an end. So they're promoting a guy from his staff who has been around baseball. He's been around basketball a bunch, and he's a guy they brought in so that he could be kind of that voice of wisdom and experience from the league. JB Bickerstaff, he's going to become the full-time head coach, and he'll actually start running practice on Wednesday. Whereas John Beilein, who came from Michigan, is supposed to say goodbye to his staff and players right before that. Now they're coming back from the All-Star break. They're coming back to a coaching change. For those of you who said this will never work, hey, ding, 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 ding. You guessed this one correctly. You had him pegged. I thought it might work. I mean, I was intrigued by the idea because he does work with a lot of young players, obviously, or he did at the University of Michigan. He's done that over the course of his career. And because I felt like maybe the Cavaliers were in a good spot for that. But he really never was able to connect with them. And that's a definite hurdle for coaches moving from college to the pros, because it's a different style. In college, the basketball players themselves, because they're students, because they're not making as much money, well, theoretically shouldn't be making any money, because they're not making as much money as their coaches, because they're learning, because, you know, it's their kind of their first time on the big stage if they go to a major school like Michigan. Well, they need a leader. They need a coach, but also someone who can train them and who can teach them and who can help prepare them either for the NBA or for life after basketball if they don't end up playing professionally. In the NBA, it's completely different. The players run the league. We know this. We've seen this. I don't even need to give you examples. You know how this goes. The coaches don't make more than the players in most cases. And their platforms dwarf that of a coach. It's a totally different dynamic. In fact, I wouldn't be opposed to changing the title to manager. You manage egos, you manage playing time, you manage personalities, you manage essentially these moguls, basketball moguls. And not every team is full of superstars, but you can be sure that on every team, there are at least a couple players that make way more money than you do and have far more impact and reach than you do. It's a completely different dynamic. And so he not only was he not able to get his offense implemented where the guys looked comfortable running it, but I'm not sure they wanted to, and it's just a disconnect. Age is not, in my opinion, a determining factor, because we have coaches who are in their 60s, some of them even older than that, who manage to stay relevant and figure out how to communicate with players who are a third of their age. It's not impossible. We know there are coaches out there who can do it. Mike Krzyzewski is a great example. Roy Williams is a great example. I could go on and on. I mean, Wade Phillips in the NFL is a great example. Players love him. Doesn't matter how old he is. But you have to be willing to adapt, be flexible, change, recognize that the way you teach and train and coach today is not the way that you would teach and train and coach two decades ago. And in addition to that, it's different in college versus the pros. And so if you were one of those people who said, this will never work in Cleveland, well, you were right. And we'll get further analysis as we head through the show. So that's one piece of news. But let me just tell you, I'm pretty jazzed up about the other piece of news coming from the world of sports. Drew Brees returning for another season of Chuckin' and Duckin'. I'm really excited about this. I'm a big fan of Drew Brees for what he does on the field, for what he does off the field. I think he's an incredible ambassador for the sport of football, not to mention the perfect leader for New Orleans, everything he means to that franchise as well as that city and that region. And every team should have a coach-quarterback relationship like Sean Payton and Drew Brees do. And so we'll head to New Orleans coming up in 25 minutes and we'll get kind of the other dominoes that will drop here. Drew Brees stays, or returns, I should say. He's an unrestricted free agent, but he was never going anywhere else. So he'll sign a new contract at some point with the Saints. Just turned 41, by the way. Tom Brady, eat your heart out. And so Brees, who didn't look like he lost much. Now, is his arm strength as the same as it was? I mean, he's never had a Patrick Mahomes arm, but his arm strength is maybe not the same. That's why we've seen Taysom Hill zip a couple of passes. But his accuracy is unquestioned. And really, if you look at his stats from this year, it's pretty amazing. I know he missed 5 games because of the torn ligament in his thumb, but he still set a career high in quarterback rating, passer rating. Sorry, they're two different things. Passer rating, not QB rating. This is a guy who, while he may lose a little bit in the physical tools, has gotten better with age. Like a fine wine. Best passer rating of his career last season, 116.3. And thanks to Teddy Bridgewater stepping in when Brees was out, the Saints went 13-3 again. Brees was actually an offensive player of the month for December. His receiver, Michael Thomas, phenomenal season, historical season. Offensive player of the year. And there's a lot to like about the Saints. The problem is they have run into these brick walls in the postseason, and they make you a little leery. Is the team ever going to break through? Is the team going to get back to a Super Bowl? I would love that for Drew Brees. Again, I like everything he stands for. And so we'll talk about the Saints, about Drew Brees, about the rest of their quarterback room coming up in inside of 25 minutes here on the show. But because it's my duty, you should have seen the smile that just went across my face. Sounds funny, but it is true. It's my duty to bring you the news. And the news is that Rob Manfred is still talking. He's talking again. He left Florida. Now he's in Arizona. The storylines follow him. It's not going away. Not yet. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you want to send your questions for Ask Amy anything, you can do that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you had a great Tuesday. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You know, calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal. I mean, I don't know if the commissioner's ever won anything in his life. Maybe he hasn't. But the reason every guy is in this room, the reason every guy is, you know, working out all offseason and showing up to camp early and putting in all the time and effort is specifically for that trophy.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Justin Turner, one of those Major League Baseball players who took exception to Rob Manfred calling the Commissioner's Trophy, his trophy, what's named after his office, the World Series trophy, a piece of metal. If for no other reason, we had to hear from Rob Manfred to clean up that mess. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Manfred making his own apology tour. Haha. This one coming from Arizona.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake.
Just one.
At least during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
Can you cut him some slack? It was a mistake. He had a really long day. I mean, I'll be honest. Sometimes I have really long days that leave me tired and cranky, not a whole lot of sleep, and I get frustrated, and I have triggers that render me a bit sarcastic, though sarcasm is my love language. I can understand that he didn't mean it that way. And remember, that was right before he said, hey, this has been really fun, but can we move on now? So he had moved from sincerity and being candid to just wanting the whole thing to go away. And now here he is a couple days later. It's not only not going away, but he has stoked the fire with his comment about that piece of metal. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Some of you are now taking the liberty to turn the show off because you're tired of hearing about the Astros. Hey, I'm with you. Let me just tell you, when it was Deflategate, we talked about it for a year and a half, and that was even before Tom Brady had resolved his legal fight with the league and finally served his suspension. It made me not want to come to work. Now, I'm not at that point yet with this story because I do think it's intriguing. I wonder if the Astros hadn't claimed the World Series in 2017, would we have nearly as much traction? Probably not. But the fact is that every single day, we're not rehashing the same audio and the same comments and the same reaction. We're getting new stuff every single day. It's not old audio, it's fresh audio. It's LeBron James weighing in on Twitter saying, listen here, baseball commissioner. Could you imagine if someone said to LeBron, listen here, basketball player? I'm pretty sure he would consider that to be largely disrespectful. You know how he is about the respect thing. So this was LeBron's tweet on Tuesday. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Oh my gosh. What? Of all the ways that I could have thought to address Rob Manfred, that wouldn't have been one of them. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, about this. Have we heard a player yet say he's broken? That would be news, I feel like. About how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. And then, this is my favorite part. Well, other than the listen here, baseball commissioner. My favorite part is the longest hashtag in the history of the social media medium, of this particular social medium. Just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie, regardless of my own sport I play. You got to say it really fast when it's that long because you got to keep up with the letters. So LeBron just jumping into the fray. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Now, here's the part that I find intriguing about Tuesday, in addition to LeBron and Aaron Judge and, oh, Nick Markakis. Oh, my goodness. He may one day end up in the After Hours Hall of Flame. You'll hear that coming up soon, probably top of the hour. Rob Manfred is responding to the criticism about giving the players immunity. And he says he had no choice.
One of the principal complaints seems to be that the Houston players were not disciplined. And, you know, that lack of discipline, the immunity, was negotiated with the union that represents players.
So the commissioner, listen here, baseball commissioner, the commissioner is indicating that the union, MLBPA, would not allow the Astros to speak with the league and the league's investigators about everything that happened in 2017 unless they had immunity. Well, that's not what the union leadership says. In fact, the MLBPA issued its own statement. Any suggestion that the association failed to cooperate is untrue. And that the association sought and received confirmation from the league that the players interviewed and any other players would not be disciplined in connection with the allegations made about their sign stealing, and it refers to the column in The Athletic, the one that Mike Fiers kind of spilled the beans in. Any suggestion the association, which is the union, failed to cooperate with the commissioner's investigation, obstructed the investigation, or otherwise took positions which led to a stalemate in the investigation, so many words, is completely untrue. So the association is saying it completely cooperated, and that the rules of the labor deal actually support giving the players immunity, and that the rules don't allow for player discipline. Discipline. See, everyone makes mistakes, Rob Manfred. The association is saying that the rules don't allow for the players to be disciplined, because they were never notified of the rules to begin with. Okay, that makes me roll my eyes a little bit. I mean, how hard can it be to recognize that the Red Sox got punished for the Apple Watch mess in 2017 and that the use of technology to steal signs would not be tolerated? And if it wasn't common knowledge, then how come every team out there isn't doing it? So, little bit of a he said here. But there was that one comment from Rob Manfred in which he said the general manager and the manager were responsible for making sure that the players in their clubhouse knew that technology to steal signs was outlawed, and that if they didn't know, that comes down to the GM and the manager. But there isn't one Astro who's come out yet and said, oh, I didn't know. I thought it was perfectly allowable under the rules. Oh, wait, you mean we can't use the monitors, the ones that our manager smashed? Not one Astro has said, I didn't know it was against the rules. Not one. I'm glad they haven't been that careless or ignorant. Everybody knew it was against the rules. So I'm not sure what the association is writing about there. But anyway, Rob Manfred did say he may consider no more immunity. If this is how it's going to be, if the players are going to say that the Astros should get punished, well, then why bother with immunity? We'll hear a little more from Rob Manfred. From Aaron Judge. Nick Markakis is my favorite, though. Listen here, baseball commissioner. But straight ahead, we're going to spend some time in New Orleans. What does the return of Drew Brees mean for the other quarterbacks on the roster? And what else do the Saints have to decide in the offseason? Thanks so much for joining us. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as to our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brees takes the handoff, throws a long line drive pass, far sideline, caught by Hill, breaks a tackle, five, down the far sideline, inside the pylon, touchdown, number 541. They cannot stop Drew Brees. He is a machine. 28-yard touchdown pass. Fourth tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We just talked to linebacker DeMario Davis of the Saints about Drew Brees. And this was before Brees had decided to return for another season. And he called him the GOAT and talked about how he holds the record in nearly every passing category known to man. Well, he is back for his 20th season with the Saints. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Another record-setting performance there with Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network. And we're pleased to welcome John Hendricks of Sports Illustrated in New Orleans. John, why did Brees decide to come back for his 20th season?
Well, look, I mean, it's unfinished business here in New Orleans. And you look at just kind of the course of the history with the Saints, and he's obviously been there since 2006. He's loved in the city. And you just look at the last several playoff exits. I mean, you know, you go back and rewind a little bit to the dark times, you know, from 2014, 2016, they would put in those 3-7-9 campaigns. You know, they didn't really have the right makeup in the locker room. And a lot of that rebuilding went into play behind the scenes. They had some good draft classes. They got an even better draft class in 2017. You know, they built upon it, but, you know, things didn't end the way they wanted to. And they had the Rams championship game in 2018. That didn't go the way they wanted to. And obviously this year there was high hopes and they didn't finish out how they wanted to. So, you know, look, Drew Brees is a competitor. I say all that to say that. And, you know, look, there's a lot to be done here still, and I think he gives the Saints the best chance to win a Super Bowl or at least make a run at it with the current core of players that they have.
Just to put some speculation to bed, I did hear a couple of rumblings about how Brees might test free agency, and I thought that was ridiculous. But, John, I'll ask you without putting my own spin on it, was there any chance Brees was ever going to look for another team to play for?
Yeah, there was zero chance. I mean, it's been really clear, line in the sand. I mean, it's New Orleans or nobody. And, you know, the thing is, you look at some of the relationships he has. I mean, he's beloved again down here. His relationship with Sean Payton is tops. You know, the front office with Mickey Loomis, the owner Gail Benson. I mean, his roots run real deep here in New Orleans. And, I mean, he's tied to the community. He's done a lot of things outside of New Orleans and establishing a lot of franchises and different things. So, I mean, it was never going to be a case of where you think, oh, well, Brees is going to go play somewhere else. And, you know, look, some of the reports from guys like Jay Glazer echoed that, you know, look, it's the Saints or nobody. And, you know, Sean Payton was pretty adamant about everything, saying, hey, look, the starting job is going to be Drew's. It's just a matter of if he wants to come back and play. And, you know, he made the decision and he was ready to go.
John Hendricks covers the Saints for Sports Illustrated with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So now that the Drew Brees question is answered, John, what does that mean for the rest of the quarterback room, both Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, look, you know, it's crazy because obviously there's still work to be done because they got to figure out the contract side of Brees, which I don't think will be a big deal. But, you know, the Saints entered this offseason or going to enter this offseason without a quarterback on the roster. That's under contract because Brees was going to have that deal expire, and you know Taysom Hill is a restricted free agent, and Teddy Bridgewater is an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, the idea in everything that we've been told and what we hear is, you know, Taysom Hill's expected back. We don't know what kind of tender that the Saints are going to play put place on him, but I'd expect it to be a pretty high one. And, you know, the thing and the joy about a restricted free agent for the Saints is if another team comes to make an offer, the Saints have kind of that right of first refusal and then kind of have the chips there. So it'll be interesting to see how that happens. But, you know, look, everything that I've heard, Teddy Bridgewater seems to be the odd man out. Nothing wrong. I mean, Teddy's a great leader in the locker room. He's fantastic with the media. I mean, he's just been absolutely great, and especially how he stepped in for Drew Brees in those five games, posting that 5-0 record. But look, he's gonna get paid on the open market. And you know, I saw the other day that you know he could get upwards of $30 million a year. And look, more power to him, because he said that he's gonna use his head over his heart to make the next move. And you know, I don't think he's just going to go to any team and chase the money. He definitely should go to a situation where he feels like he can support the franchise and the team. And so it looks like he's going to be headed elsewhere. So I think that's probably the best move for him. And, you know, you'd love to keep all three again, but Taysom Hill's role is going to look a little bit different coming into the next year, assuming he stays with the Saints. But they got their most important guy wrapped up for the new league season in Drew Brees.
Certainly a great audition for Teddy, though, going 5-0 when Brees was out with the torn ligament in his thumb. As for Taysom Hill, he had said, maybe it was a week and a half ago, that he does believe he's a franchise quarterback. And you mentioned he's a restricted free agent, but what's your reaction? You've seen him up close, you know, his value to the Saints. What do you think about him being a franchise QB, potentially taking over when Drew retires?
Yeah, look, here's what I would tell people, and this is where, you know, again, just totally my two pennies on it, right? And obviously, if you look at preseason as a sample size, I don't think that's totally fair. And obviously, you can't judge it off a regular season because he doesn't have really a sample size at all, right? So what I remember most is covering the training camps and looking through some of those, and, you know, especially as a rookie coming into the league when they got picked up off of waivers, you know, just doesn't look like he was totally there. You never knew what was going to happen with this guy. But what I've seen from year one to year three is just his progression. Just the fact that he looks more comfortable in the pocket. He looks more comfortable going through his progressions. He looks more comfortable with his reads. And, you know, look, he's got the arm strength. He's got the talent. He can run an offense. And you know, the thing is just – perfecting his craft is really what he needs to do. And, you know, I was listening to the podcast with Adam Schefter on ESPN earlier today. And, you know, one of the things that he's talked about is how much he appreciates what Drew Brees has done for him and kind of considers him a big brother in a lot of aspects. But he just says just the whole leg up that he has about all these other backup quarterbacks is the fact that he can get in the huddle with Drew and that he sees how he handles the leadership, how he puts a craft into, you know, every day perfecting that craft and making sure that he's the best that he can be on it. And so I think he's going to have a bright future ahead of him. But, you know, look, one season at a time, and that's all the Saints are worried about at the moment.
John Hendricks is the lead writer for the Saints for Sports Illustrated with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What are the other major question marks for the Saints as we head toward the start of free agency and the new year?
Yeah, look, I think they got to look at the defensive side of the ball, and is for starters, because you got a lot of the key starters like Von Bell, P.J. Williams, a guy who played really good role player, you know, Eli Apple, David Onyemata, a lot of guys who put in a lot of time, A.J. Klein at the linebacker position. These are all unrestricted free agents for the Saints, and so, you know, they have guys like Janoris Jenkins at cornerback, but I don't think he's going to play for that $11.25 million cap hit that's scheduled for 2020. I think they'll try to maneuver around, and it sounds like they're their guy because everything I'm told about Eli Apple, it doesn't sound like there's much coming out of the Saints camp, but there are a lot of other teams that are interested in his services, so it'll be something to watch there. So I think defensively they've got some pieces to figure out. Linebacker position obviously stands out because, you know, you got some guys that are coming back from injured reserve, and you got to compensate from that. And I think their biggest question that they've got to figure out is left guard, because Andres Pete is scheduled to be a free agent, so they got to figure out what they're going to do there. Most of the other offensive line is going to stay intact, but They got to get a better wide receiver. Ted Ginn Jr. is also scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, look, Michael Thomas has been phenomenal, but the guys behind him just don't get it done, and they just haven't been really impressive. So I think through the draft or free agency, you'll see getting some improvements there, especially if you say that Breeze doesn't have the zip on the long ball anymore. They got to get somebody that can help move the sticks. It's not named Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, or Alvin Kamara. So, you know, a few spots here and there. It's not like they have to totally go back to the well and try to find some of these guys that they have some great depth that can step up in a pinch. But, you know, defensively on that side of the ball, that's where I'm most concerned right now.
Something that I am waiting for the NFL to address, and I'm wondering if you've heard anything from Sean Payton, because this time last year, all of the talk was about changing the pass interference rules somehow in the wake of the NFC Championship and that missed PI call on Nickell Robey-Coleman. Coach Payton is part of the competition committee. Has anyone asked him, have you heard anything about whether or not the NFL plans to reverse course on the rule that really didn't seem to make any impact on this past season at all?
Yeah, I don't know about reverse course, but I know Peyton's been pretty adamant about advocating for somebody else to help Al Riveron up in the front office. And, you know, you kind of put it simply, there's nothing bad against Al. You know, just the fact that you got one guy that are making those decisions, and maybe it should be a committee of three or something along the lines of some extra help and to kind of see all the angles and such. And look, we've seen what's happened with the XFL and how they've been able to kind of master some of this replay and enforce some things and change some things. And, you know, if you look back, this whole pass interference rule absolutely has been met with so much criticism. So look, I don't know what the competition committee particularly will throw out this season to see if they'll, you know, enforce it more or try to be more strict on the replay process. But look, it's totally inconsistent is what I'd say. And I most people know that. And I know Sean Payton tries to bite his lip as much as possible when it comes to it, because obviously you can't get too much when you criticize officiating. But look, I would expect some changes or some more clarification to enhance the process would be coming.
We'll see, because it was a one-year probationary trial, so to speak, on this rule. And again, it really didn't seem to have much of an impact, but I'm anxious to see how they address it now in the offseason. You can find John on Twitter at John J. Hendricks, covers the Saints for Sports Illustrated. Big news today, Drew Brees is returning, and now we'll wait to see how they progress through the rest of the offseason. Always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Appreciate you having me. Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.